Before I learn to speak in accent. And throughout the years, I got very fluent in the Scots. But I was a silent speaker of Nisga till I was 21. So maybe one of your classes, I'll come down and let you know the story of when I came out amongst the Nisga, that I was more fluent than most of them. The other one is, it's about 100 years ago when a number of us went to school upstairs. We're in grade one upstairs. So it's kind of neat that this house of worship is again also a house of solaxa, a house of learning. I remember first day of school here. My grandfather's Lee Staw, Sam Wesley, he was a carpenter also. He built two outhouses here, one for the boys and one for the girls. And first day of school, the late Clarence Milton grabbed somebody's hat and threw it down a hole in the toilet. And their teacher, her name was Mrs. Polgard. And her husband was the teacher and principal of the day school where the health center is now. And Mrs. Polgard was a very wonderful teacher. There was no kindergarten at that time, around here anyway, let alone nursery. So this place started a lot of us off to our path in education. I don't know if you were here, Winnie. Did you start here too?
Yes.
Yeah. The late Richard Howard, I remember, and Clarence Milton. And late Clarence Milton, he very rambunctious. He liked to cause a lot of problems. But he loved doing it. The other is a couple of you mentioned residential school. 56, 57 was when I first went to Edmonton Residential School. So my little brother, Tom. The United Church minister of the day and the Indian agent of the day, they told my parents that was a real good place to go for your education. My parents and grandparents, Katie and them's parents, they were very, very strong in Christianity and spirituality. So I was very strong as an 11-year-old as a Christian. Within 2 weeks of being in Edmonton, I lost my Christianity. I didn't hear anything out of the principal's mouth, who was a reverend, United Church reverend. I didn't hear anything out of his mouth or his teaching, and he was also the administrator and very mean, that resembled Christianity. So it's over 50 years later that I was invited by the late Charlotte Sullivan Weirabel, Sidimnat Weirabel, gave me a phone call February 2004 to become a member of the Vancouver School of Theology. So he urged me on, and I kept telling her, I'm enjoying my heathenism. You know, this is all in consent, of course. So eventually, she says to me, Nish Nod, listen to Lomagad Wen, Hokshnane is Board of Directors of Vancouver School of Theology. So she said, my chief name, Nish Nod, I have already put your name in. You're already a board member of the School of Theology. But the again, back to the residential school, we came home in June, and it was very hard on my brother, Tom. In residential school, you have three companions: hunger, fear, and loneliness. There'll be over 100 of you in the school, 200 when I was there in 56, 57. But those three are always there. So in 59, 60, I was 13. And the Indian agent gave me three choices: go back to Edmund Residential School for grade 9, or go to Alberni Residential School, which I didn't want to go to because Alberni already had very, very bad reputation, or drop out of school, 13 years old. So I went back to Edmonton, because it's important to get my grade 12. So a lot of us would get on the train in Prince Rupert, then the three canneries, Portet, NP, Sunnyside, and Cassiar, four canneries. Then the next stop was Terrace. Then the last main stop was New Hazleton. And that year, two little boys got on the train. And when they got on, I got them to sit with me. And when I learned their names, I knew who they were. I knew the father, because the father worked with her dad and Arthur Howard, who ran a pole and logging camp just above the village here. There were Rod Moore, Herb Moore, and they were very, very fluent in Gitxsen. And at that time, they're, you know, little boys. So I mentored them. Then when we got to Edmonton, I got them together, and I told them, we're not allowed to speak our language here. You get in trouble. But three of us, we'll use our language when we're by ourselves, where nobody can hear us. Don't speak your language in front of other Gitxsen students, because in residential school, it's an institution. An institution. It's like a jail in one respect. Because other students hear you speaking your language, they'll squeal. They'll squeal to the supervisor. or to the principal. And that's when you'd get strapped. So we had a little pack, the three of us, when we're alone, we'll speak your sin. And we did that every year till I graduated, and they came, they graduated a year or two after me. So tonight, listen to you people working and speaking. It's very joyful because Sally and I have we've always confessed why we didn't teach Cindy and Clarence the language. Because when they were coming up, we thought it was more important for them to learn French along with their English. You know, because that was the way you can get a lot of jobs in government and corporations, by English and French. But I'm glad that they listen to their grannies. And that's who a lot of us learn our language from. It's our grannies and grandfathers. So, again, genamik we did some dogs lawsome. There's a signal.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.